like a mead, but I will say it's still your edge of what's important to you. And so it may feel more like a yearning to be seen, to be met, to be held, to be open to the divine, right? So it's your edge. You may not even have a language of, it may not be a language of, I need this. It may be, this is important to me. Or even, I desire. I want.
I'd love to share on that too. Aaliyah, what you said about yourself in terms of being very self-sufficient and all that, I can definitely relate to that. And I can also very much relate to trying to understand what are my needs in relationship. How do I understand what's an absolute, like, I need this versus I can bend on these things. And for me, I found that the thing that makes me want to shut down, if a partner, if my man isn't willing to do this or something, I know that it's a need for me. If I want to detach, if I want to shut down, then I'm like, oh, in order for me to stay in connection, I actually need him to be open to this, because I'm so good at shutting down and turning away. I'm so used to being like, okay, that's not going to work because he's not open to this. Instead of turning towards him and saying, wow, I realize that when you know, in order for me to stay open to you, actually, this is something that I require.
I'm into that. Thank you. Yeah, that's great.
Here's my favorite way to sense if a person needs something emotionally. Can you fully be yourself in the absence of it? That's how you know. So in the absence of it, if you don't get to be who you choose to be, and you choose to be who you choose to be, you need it. So you could say to somebody, I need such and such to be me fully with you. So either we find a way for that to be met, or you don't get to experience all of who I am, and that will probably mean less and less time with me.
Just what I'm hearing from both of you, even just as I'm thinking about it, is the need is also directly tied to your connection with the other person. So for instance, when you're talking about survival needs, it's going, well, I'm very independent. I can take care of my needs. I can stay in physical health and figure out financially and all that. But the real need that we're addressing is in fact that connection with the other person. It's something that is bigger than just one person alone, right? That need for the other. So it's great. Thank you.
Marilyn has asked us, Miriam, how do you get a man to make a commitment? Would you like to start with that, or would you like me to?
Go ahead and start with it.
Okay. So just to bring in a little humor, Shane was reminding me of the importance of that today. And I shared with him one of my favorite quotes from one of my mentors. He said, and this is just so sweet, he said, anything can be accomplished with a playful attitude, and some things can only be accomplished with a playful attitude. One of my teachers, Richard Bandler. So I saw so here's the humor part. So speaking to commitment and males, I was driving and I saw a billboard, and there's a picture of a puppy on it. And it said, here's a male who's not afraid of commitment. And I saw that and I went, ouch, and it's funny. And the ouch is an ouch both for the masculine and the feminine who would see that and who doesn't actually understand what I'm about to share with you related to commitment in men. I have often seen men suffer and women suffer around the conversation of commitment. And so here's my offering to help the healing on that. I actually experienced men being very committed, and hear the drum roll on this, to what makes sense to them to be committed to. Men are committed to what makes sense to them to be committed to, which is not necessarily the same as being committed to what you wish they were committed to. So my answer is, how do you get a man to commit? Look at what he values, what's important to him. Respect that, first of all. And second, be a contribution to him experiencing what he values. Because if you're at a right angle to what he values, what he's committed to, that's not working very well. But if you're in support of what he values, so I like to say this around commitment. Check and see what a person's already committed to, and then when you make a request related to some kind of commitment, calibrate. Are they truly committed to it, or do they have a desire to please you and yet they have a belief or another desire that's going in another direction? So look for what they're actually committed to and be such that they would want to commit to partnership with you. I'll say this really quick because it's just so key. Notice the difference between a relationship and a partnership. We're all already related to everything. You're related to whatever you're sitting on. You're related to your bed. You're related to your phone. You have a relationship to everything already. You don't have partnership with everything. Partnership takes two or more people who both agree on something.
In terms of that, the commitment piece, I'd love to respond to that also. I was commitment phobic for years. And that's because I wasn't clear on what I really wanted in my life. I wasn't clear on how anybody else could make my life better. I kind of saw somebody else entering my life as a burden. I'm going to have to now take care of this person. I was looking at it wrong. I didn't acknowledge where I actually needed support and where I actually desired regular connection and deepening in this intimacy and communication. And it wasn't until I got really, really clear that one of my main values for this phase of my life is stability. I'm like, I want stability. I want routine. I want ritual. I want some element of the same thing to start to feel so safe so I can build upwards instead of feeling like my energy is kind of leaking and I'm moving, I'm traveling around a lot. I started to value different things. And you can't make anybody commit who doesn't value what you have to offer or who you innately are, nor can you change yourself to be what somebody else needs. If it's an alignment to have a commitment with somebody, then you each are going to value what the other person is. But so many of us aren't showing up as all that we truly are. So many of us are playing a small game and not fully filling our own shoes. And if that's the case, it's going to be hard for you to really be enough for anybody if you're not even fully being yourself. So it's like, if you're fully embodying yourself, if you're fully in alignment with your truth and responding to your own needs, then the partner, or the potential partner, can actually look at you for what you actually are and not see the ways that you've been withholding yourself. Because unfortunately, we do ourselves a disservice. We kind of sell ourselves short when we only show up as a fraction of ourselves because we actually haven't fully embodied all that we are. And part of this work, part of love coaching and the work that I do, and I'm sure the work that Shane does too, is coming into contact with what we actually are on such a deep level that we feel full, so that we can be in partnership at the level of partnership that is actually going to serve our lives and add to our lives.
Yeah, thank you. Just because I got included in that, I was thinking, just on the summary, something I enjoy doing is like taking, as I'm listening to both of you, I'm really enjoying it. It's a habit of mine, but I like, you know, I shrink everything down to like 3 or 4 words that I can carry as mantras like throughout my day, you know, just to really keep me present with it. But something, Miriam, I heard you say was commitment should be constructive, not constrictive. Right? So I used to have a fear of commitment because I thought, yeah, this is someone else I have to take care of. I'm already trying to navigate my needs, you know, and now I've got to be concerned for someone else's, and that's a joy. But, you know, what I realized was, yeah, as you were also saying, Joseph, now too, is that what are you really making a commitment to, right? For Alon and I, the commitment was to show up for each other, to welcome each other, to see each other. It wasn't to both come together and go, well, we both have the same idea, preconceived notion of what a relationship looks like in our minds. Why don't we try to go make that work? You know, we weren't trying to like fit into a mold of what we thought the relationship should be. And that commitment really to be with each other was to genuinely be with each other, like for everything, you know? And in that commitment, yeah, it caused moments where I had to rise the occasion to dress something or what have you, but it was always in a way that was for our greater good. So commitment actually made an improvement in my life. Something I was previously afraid of, actually, you know, one of my biggest fears, biggest pains actually became, you know, greatest pleasure.